Well, we are continuing on with our sermon series in regards to the work and role of the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. And this is really going to be part two of Walk This Way from last week. And so I would ask you to please open up your Bibles with me to Galatians chapter 5. If you don't have a Bible, look underneath the seats and make sure you have one. Excuse me. I'm going to read from verses 16 to 26. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh, for these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, and as I've warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Let's pray again. Lord God, I would ask that you would definitely open up our ears, our spiritual eyes, our hearts to what you'd have for us this morning. Lord, I know we've come in the doors with all sorts of maybe different thoughts and stuff and baggage on our minds. And Lord, we would let you take over at this time, that you would be glorified at this time. Lord, that we would choose to listen to your voice this morning. Lord, please meet with us, speak to us, change us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Got a frog in the throat this morning, I'm sorry. I never understood that one, a frog in your throat. I mean, I guess so. All right. Croak. All right. I got a frog in your throat. All right. Ribbit. Anyway, as we continue on here, again, we read this text and we see these one-syllable English words: walk, led, bear the fruit of the Spirit, live by the Spirit. And again, these small words have such life-changing impact for us if we grasp and understand the reality of these terms and what God would have for each of us. These one-syllable words, again, they're verbs. They're action words. That's what verbs are. They have movement. They empower us. They do indeed change us and transform us. And those words, again, like walk and led by the Spirit and live by the Spirit and so on, and the outcome of our walk and our living and our breathing in the Spirit, in a sense, as church members, we should be then bearing the fruit of the Spirit. That should be the natural outpouring of that work. And again, we talked about last week, I'm calling, you know, and if you have that half sheet of paper inside your worship folders, it's staying in step with the Spirit. And how do we do that? What exactly does that look like? And steps are very important, all right? Truly are. And you guys would acknowledge that in all of our lives. I mean, example, being a parent being a grandparent now. There's this incredible excitement, and some of you probably as moms can remember, or dads, your toddler's first steps. That's a biggie. Crucial first steps. I unfortunately don't remember every one of my kids' first steps, but I do remember my baby brother, his first steps. I was there when, you know, he first took those first initial steps. You know, I got him a little warmed up and, you know, probably on a sugar high, and he just went, you know, he went out running towards me. It was pretty exciting. I remember when Katie did, my lovely bride, Katie had done daycare for like 12 years, and many times we would talk to the parents, you know, she would, and they would say, well, little Johnny just, you know, started walking this week, and of course, Katie would keep her mouth shut in a good way because little Johnny had been walking for 2 weeks prior, and, you know, and those are special times that you really do want to, you know, be aware of, the steps in life. Some of you, I'm not a big fan of reality TV, but I know it's out there. Dancing with the Stars, all right? Come on, how many watch Dancing with the Stars? All right, Bri, way to go. And it's crucial. They work on these steps all the time, the footwork, you know, step, slide, whatever, and all this stuff. And some of you that were on dance lines, and it's all about the steps and the movement. And baseball. Baseball is big with steps, believe it or not. We got this new guy from Japan, Nishioki, and if you know anything about his batting stance, and he is not stepping into the pitch. They throw him this low slider thing that comes, and he steps away every time. He's missing it every time. He's stepping in the wrong direction. So steps are very important. And as important and crucial as the above steps I've just mentioned are and were, none is more significant than making sure as followers of Jesus Christ that we are staying in step with the Holy Spirit of God, all right? It's absolutely crucial that we get this. And so I just have some, again, staying in step. How do we stay in step with the Spirit of God? Well, last week I went over this quickly. I'll go over it quickly again. The first one is walk by the Spirit. I've already filled it in the blank for you. And again, that walk by the Spirit is essentially the same as living by the Spirit. Walking is progressing. Walking is movement. Walking is moving forward in the right direction. It's going in a positive movement in our Christian walk, in our sanctification process. And again, no one here will be growing in any way, shape, or form spiritually apart from the Holy Spirit of God, all right? It doesn't happen without Him. In fact, without the Spirit of God, you're not a Christian, and it wouldn't happen at all. And so we just need to be aware that how important some of these simple little words are, and we got to unpack them so much more. Again, why? Because we all carry this residue of sin, as we've seen in this chapter. You know, there's this war raging for the soul, in a sense. And if we don't have the Spirit of God in a greater control over the sinful flesh, our sinful human nature, we're going to be in a heap of trouble. That's the bottom line. And I don't know about you, but I pray that you want to be a holy church. I pray that you want purity in your lives. Amen? And I don't know about you. Yes, sin can be fun for a moment, for maybe a season, but in the end, it's just devastating. It's destructive. It's horrible. And the bottom line is it'll keep you out of the presence of God in His heaven. Again, we must have this walking of the Spirit down, walking in the right direction, being on the right path, having a set goal and aim in Christ. That's what it means to live and to walk in the Spirit. That's all I'm going to tell you on that one, all right? I'm moving on to the next point already. Next one, verse 18, it has it right here. Again, it says, if you are led by the Spirit, again, you're not under the law. What does that mean again? You're no longer under the curse and condemnation of the law, that system of death. If you and I, the law is good, it's great, it's holy, but when you and I were outside of Christ, we play this game of works righteousness, don't we? And the more we think we can try harder, right? Let's just try harder and be nicer and whatever it takes, I'm going to get there. And the whole world believes in that world system of what? Works, right? Every other false religion, every other person on the planet outside of Christ believes that somehow They're going to get to glory. They're going to see God because they've been good enough, nice enough, pretty enough, smart enough. They've been to church enough. They prayed enough, whatever. They read their Bible more than anyone else. And you know what? God has to let them in. And again, that's not the case because we know we are saved by what? Grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. But again, it says here that if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. So the next point, there's led by the Spirit. How do we stay in step with the Spirit? It's to be led by the Spirit. And again, it's so essential that we define terms again. And so what do we mean? If I was to ask you, what do we mean by led by the Spirit? And even more important, I don't know how often you ask this, but what does that look like to be led or to live in the Spirit or to walk? What does that actually look like in a practical manner? Are we able to, you know, are we someone, can we look at someone and are we readily able to say, hey, that person, they're led by the Spirit. Or that person over there, they're filled with the Spirit. That person back, they're living in the Spirit. Are you able to say that about yourself? Can you honestly say that you're one who's led by the Spirit, that you're living in the Spirit, that you're walking by the Spirit, that you're being continually filled by the Spirit? Does that describe you? Do you ever wrestle with that stuff? I mean, that's, we should all be asking those questions. And so often I think we pass over this stuff. And again, like I said last Sunday, this Christianese, we just speak it, but do we really believe it by faith, and do we really appropriate those truths and promises into our lives? And so what does it mean to be led by the Spirit? Again, in this context, and this verb, led, it's in the passive voice, and it's important to know that. Again, which means what? Which means that God is the one actively at work when it comes to the leading, right? Walking is a command in this text. That's an imperative command to you and I. That's our responsibility to walk and to live for Jesus in the Spirit. But in this case, again, the led by the Spirit is God's active work. It's interesting, too, if you turn to Ephesians and other places where it says to be filled by the Spirit, again, that's God actively at work. So it's important that we get these truths and promises correct in our mind's eye here and what's happening. And so if God is the one who is doing the leading by the Spirit, and He alone is doing that leading, we do the walking, we do the following after, we do the listening and obeying, God, again, takes that active role in leading by His Spirit. He leads, guess what? We follow. Simple. Pretty simple. You know, and the Spirit, what? The Spirit gives us guidance and direction. And the direction and guidance that He gives us is guiding and directing us towards, ultimately, towards Christ and His living Word, all right? The Holy Spirit leads us into the deep things of God. To be led by the Spirit is to submit more and more to the control of the Spirit of God. And again, there's so many verses. Let me just read some of these verses. Listen, if you want to turn to them, you can. But John 16, 13 to 15 says this, when the Spirit of truth comes, again, what will He do? It says here, He will guide you, where? Into all the truth. He points us back to the Word. We don't have to go out on some esoteric little experience, out there in the woods all by ourselves, like, oh, meet me, God. Oh, where are you, God? No, He's found right here in the Word. And it says here, He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, this is Jesus speaking again, whatever He hears, speaking about the Holy Spirit, whatever He hears, He will speak and He will declare to you the things that are to come. It says the Spirit, He will glorify me. The Spirit is sent to ultimately to glorify Christ, this Trinitarian God, and He will take what is mine and declare it to you or to show it to you. And all that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that He will take what is mine and declare it to you. Again, we see this great work of our Trinitarian God, our triune Lord, working together. All that the Father has, Jesus has. And all that the Father and Jesus has, He gives it to the Spirit. And all that the Spirit has, then He says He declares it and shows it to us. It's marvelous. It's wonderful. John 15, 16 says this, but when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, again, he will bear witness or testify about me. Again, what is the Spirit's primary role and response? He points us to Jesus. He points us to the Word. He declares everything that he possibly can to you and I about the reality of Christ and the cross and the gospel. In the Old Testament, it's found multiple times as well. Psalm 143, 8 through 10. This is, again, God speaking. And the psalmist here. Let me hear in the morning of your steadfast love. The psalmist says, for I will trust in you. Make me know the way I should go. For to you I lift up my soul, as the psalmist speaks here. Deliver me from my enemies, O Lord. I have fled to you for refuge. Again, what is it? God is our refuge. That's found so many times. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Let your good spirit, listen, lead me. Lead me on level ground. Psalm 25, 8 and 9 says, good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in the way. In the way. In the way. In the way they should go. He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his way. Again, he leads the humble. He leads. He guides. He shows us the way, the Spirit does. Who is God as well. Isaiah 42, 16 says this, and I will lead the blind in a way that they do not know, in paths that they have not known. I will guide them. I'll turn the darkness before them into light, the rough places into level ground. These are the things I will do. I do not forsake them. Aren't those great? Have you guys had rough roads before? Bumpy roads in life a little bit? How many of you want a little smoother path, you know? God promises that. I'm not saying in a sense that everything's going to go our way, but if we continually, with our mindset, think about what is happening here with our God and how he speaks to us through his word and how much we love him and trust him, that no matter what happens to us, guess what? He still has our best in mind, amen? He still leads us. He still guides us. He still loves us. Isaiah 30, 20 to 21 says, and though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, even though the Lord allows, it says here, adversity and affliction upon our lives, right? Yet your teacher, big capital T there, yet your teacher, God, will not hide himself, but your eyes shall see your teacher, and your ears shall hear a word behind you, saying, this is the way, walk in it. When you turn to the right or when you turn to the left, even through affliction and adversity, he says, this is still the way. This is still the way. Walk in it. We go, that's a little crazy. But again, there's so much on suffering. It's a good thing if we understand it from God's perspective and how he molds us and shapes us through our difficult times. Again, so great then is the power and dominion of the Spirit of God, that the law in this verse cannot accuse godly people, even though they commit what would be in fact sin. And this is because Christ is our righteousness. We've been clothed with his righteousness. We lay hold of him by faith. Christ is the one who is without sin, and therefore the law cannot accuse him. And as long as we cling tightly to Christ, we are led by the Spirit, and we are free, in a sense, from the condemnation of the law. To be led by the Spirit is a wonderful thing. And how many here really pray that prayer, Lord, lead me? As the psalmist, you know, lead me, amen, lead me. Guide me, show me, help me. Because honestly, I know me. And because I know me, it means I probably know you. But the minute I think I can figure this out on my own, I'm lost. It just doesn't work. You know, I really think, oh, yeah, I got my T's are crossed, my I's are dotted, and I'm ready to rock and roll, and I figured it all out. And then, that ugly curveball to Nishioki, and I'm stepping out, and I swing and miss, you know. It's crazy. Let's look at the next point here, point number three, the next way in which we stay in step with the Holy Spirit, it's bearing fruit bearing fruit of the Spirit in this text. Again, don't miss this huge contrast that Paul is intentionally bringing forth here. We have the works of the flesh in verse 19, which are evident. They're plainly recognized. They're clearly known. They're obvious. And they list these sins, again, sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, so on and so forth. And just because your sin isn't on this page doesn't mean you're still, you know, if you continually practice a particular... This isn't all-inclusive, you know. You don't, stealing's not on here. Good, I can steal, you know. No, don't go there. You know, obviously that's a sin. And again, the bottom line here is those who practice these things, those who do these things, it says, will not inherit the kingdom of God. That is one scary verse. That is one tragic, scary verse. It's a warning for all of us. Don't sit back and go, you know, make sure that you're walking with Jesus. Make sure that you're being led by the Spirit. Again, we see here then the fruit of the Spirit. What does that mean? Again, there's this sharp and clear contrast between the works of the flesh and versus the fruit of the Spirit. And again, and it should be obvious to all which side you would want to be found on, right? What team do you want to play for? Do you want to be on the team with the fruit or this sinful flesh? Well, obviously, everyone's saying, well, I want to be on that fruitful team. I want to be on the team that wins. And guess what? Those in Christ do win. Christ has won the victory. Amen? Amen. Amen! Yeah, hallelujah. And these characteristics, here's the bottom line. These characteristics are the outflow of the heart. All right? Ultimately, all these. And out of an evil heart, we know this, the scripture tells us, comes these what? These evil thoughts, these evil things, these sinful fleshly things out of an evil heart. All right? Out of a good heart, it says in the scripture, comes what? This fruit. And the only way you and I can have a good heart is because what? Our faith and trust in Christ alone. Amen? That's it. He's the one who changes us from the inside out through the work of His Spirit. And the natural outworking of a life that is walking by the Spirit because they're led by the Spirit is to bear the fruit of the Spirit. And in the same way that sinful flesh works out, and that's obvious and evident, it says that the sinful flesh, those sins are so obvious, that in the same way the fruit of the Spirit should be obvious in our lives. For the most part, I've said it before, sometimes you may have to move a branch and a few leaves to, ooh, there's some fruit, but it's there, all right? It's there. I'm growing some tomatoes, aren't we, Tamara? we're doing a garden here with our Hmong friends, our Hmong farmers, and we're doing okay. We got this tiny little plot over here, and they got these massive, wonderful things, and we're looking at their corn, and their corn wasn't knee-high by the 4th of July. It was like up your eyeballs, and ours is like falling over, you know, and it's like it's kind of pitiful. But we've had to move a few things and move some leaves around. So, there is some tomatoes here. There are a few peppers here. Are they supposed to look like that? but it's been a fun experience. It really has been. But we are bearing some fruit. And in the same way, we need to be bearing fruit. But again, why is our garden somewhat growing? It's because we've been fertilizing it. It's because we've been watering it. And we've asked God's sun to shine upon it. Well, in the same way, we want God's sun to shine upon us. We want to be fertilized, in a sense, with the Holy Spirit. We need to be filled up with Him. And those who truly possess the Spirit of God will have these characteristics and attitudes producing forth in our lives. Now, again, I stand here and I can read this, and I've read it all week, and I've studied it for the last couple weeks, and I can say these things to you, but is this where your heart is at? I pray it is. This is so crucial. I feel at times, I don't know if you're like this, but I feel at times that I'm kind of getting comfortable in my Christian walk even. You know, have you been there? I'm doing pretty good. And then I realize that, you know, that little Satan's over here on, you know, the old cartoon, you know, or my bubble. Satan's going, Gary, you're great. Gary, you're great. Gary,
And the angels up here going, no, you're not. No, you're not. Slow down. Humble yourself, you know. But sometimes I think we get so comfortable. Even I've been walking with Christ for 35 years at least now. And I think I'm kind of in the zone at times, you know. Or am I? It's real easy to get there. And I think, wait a minute, I got some baggage. I got some issues. I got some things I got to work on. I got some nook and crannies, those little rooms that I still don't want to, like, do I want to totally let go, you know, and let God do a work in that spot in my life? Or am I going to hold on to that? You know, it's important that we understand that we want the Spirit to flood our lives in a wonderful and glorious way. And these attitudes and these characteristics must be and need to be consciously and intentionally worked out in our lives, all right? They need to be worked at, all right? Just don't sit and go, well, God will do it, God will do it, God will do it. No, you need to, when it says here, you need to, what? The first, love. I love. I mean, how does that work out in your life? Love what? Love whom? How do you love? You know, where does that love come from? Ultimately, Christ. But we still need to demonstrate that, show that. That we do love each other in this church, serving one another, helping out each other. What does it mean? What the joy of the Lord is my strength. Joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Now, I know you and you know me. I'm probably not all the time, you can ask my family, gentle. I'm probably not all the time really good. In a sense, the goodness of Christ showing forth. Maybe I lose my temper once in a while. Once I did. No, I mean, self-control, you know. We all need to look at ourselves introspectively, say, is that describe us? Is that who we are? Are we really fighting? Are we really pressing into these things? Are we actively choosing to love? Are we fighting to maintain our joy? Are we really seeking and desiring peace? Are we purposely being patient and kind and so on? Again, I've shared this before, but I there's times in my life when I was younger, I was more impatient. You're going, has that changed? Yes. But I would drive up into the driveway in our house in Lake Elmo here, and because the kids' toys were out or the bike wasn't put back or whatever, I would purposely, and I had these memory cards, verses on my dash, I still have them, and I would pull into the driveway, into the garage, and I would say, Lord, may the first thing that comes out of my mouth today be a word of encouragement, a word of grace, a word of kindness, instead of jumping in and causing like a tornado to come in. Hey, why is that stuff on you? Why don't you put it back? What's going on? Katie, aren't you? You know, whatever. You know, what does that do? That does nothing. That does nothing. You know, we need to just, you know, sometimes I think we need to sit right where we're at and be aware that Christ is here. You know, are you ever aware that Christ is in you? That Christ is here? Jesus. Isn't that a great name? Jesus. It's so wonderful. Again, and that isn't done with those. It says, against such things there is no law. And in the original Greek, and it says, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Verse 24 fits perfectly again with verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit and you'll not gratify the desires of the flesh. It's an impossibility. Absolutely not. In no way, when you're walking in the Spirit, will you gratify the desires of the flesh. Again, in verse 24, and those who belong to Christ Jesus, those who are in Christ, those who are one of His, those who are a child of God, have crucified the flesh, the sinful flesh, with its passions and desires. That's amazing. What does it mean to crucify the flesh? What does it mean? It means that the flesh is, that's one of those concepts. Flip back, because you're already in Galatians, right? Just flip over to chapter 2, and you know this. You guys have memorized this, some of you. Chapter 2, Galatians. Again, it's a done deal. It's an indicative fact. It says in verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Isn't that great? Because of our divine intimate union with Christ, because of what Christ has done, because we're connected to Christ, guess what? When Christ died to the law, we died to that law. When Christ was crucified, in a sense, he became dead. Sin had no power over him. We became dead. Dead is dead, right? When something is dead, it has no relationship whatsoever to anything else, in a sense. And so we need to realize, we need to live in that realm. It doesn't mean sinless perfection here again. Again, it means that the reign and rule and dominion of sin that was once upon our lives no longer has that ultimate control. Isn't that good news? That is such good news. And again, I can't make this stuff up, but I gotta share this with you this week. This is what a perfect illustration is. Sometimes I think God in his heaven is looking down on me, just me. And he says, Gare, I'm going to work the universe out for you today so that you can have an illustration to bring to Sunday sermon. But this is what went down this week. And I don't know if someone was aware of this, but, you know, Sesame Street, okay, this made the news this week on several of the major news stations. And there's this organization that basically it's, you know, gay, lesbian, homosexuality deal, and it's called change.org. And they've asked Sesame Street to ask to have Bert and Ernie tie the knot. Okay, you know, Bert and Ernie, you know,
gee, Bert.
So Bert would have the pointy head. Yeah, the pointy head. Thank you. And Ernie would have the more squared, goofy head. And anyway, and basically, it says here that can help teach children about the tolerance of those that are different. And basically, it's a great avenue to promote homosexuality to preschoolers. Okay. And now, if anyone's in this room struggling with homosexuality, it's a sin, but we're here to help and to pray and to work through those things. So you can always talk to me in private anytime. Anyway, here's what they said. The petition states, we're not asking that Sesame Street do anything crude or disrespectful. Well, that's already crude and disrespectful. Only that they allow Bert and Ernie to marry or even add a transgender character to the show. Now, okay, so they already have a transgender character on the show anyway. You tell me what's Big Bird, a boy or a girl? I don't know. All right? All right. So I don't know why they're asking for that, all right? But anyway, and here's Sesame Street producers wrote a thing back and said, say that Bert and Ernie, two male characters who have shared an apartment and a bedroom for decades, will not be getting married to each other or anyone else, all right? I love this. This is awesome. Even though they are identified as male characters and possess many human traits and characteristics, they remain puppets and do not have a sexual orientation. This is awesome. Sesame Workshop said Thursday in a statement, okay? The point is that I'm making here, too, is yes, indeed, they're puppets. They're dead. They have no feelings. You remove the human hand from underneath them, they just lie motionless. They're just a piece of fabric, impossible and unable to respond to react to any sort of relationship of sin or anything. And in the same way, we're dead. We can't. Once you realize that in Christ, that we are dead too to this sin. We are incapable of having a relationship to sin the way we once did. Prior to the Holy Spirit filling us, we were once slaves to sin, but now we've been set free in Christ. Amen? This is good news. Yes, we still have that residue, but it doesn't have to control us and empower us and move us and shape us any longer. And again, I would share this, is that these truths and these promises that God freely gives to us in spite of us are meant to be a great comfort. Are meant to be a great encouragement to you and I in our Christian faith and walk. And yet all of these truths and all these promises, please listen to this, that we read and study and dwell and meditate on are only appropriated and attained as and lived out by faith and trust and love in that awesome God of promise. It comes down to our faith, trust, and love in God. That's when our lives will be radically transformed, okay? You can read these and say, yeah, I understand it, but if you're not making it applicable through faith and trust in God, then we're going to miss the boat, all right? We're going to miss heaven. We're going to miss God. We're going to end up in a place called hell, and I don't want anyone there. And so my prayer this morning as we read and study this and desire to be full of God's Spirit, that we'd really trust that God who gives us that Spirit. Amen? That we would really believe in those truths, that we'd really study those truths and then appropriate those truths to our lives. We all need more of that, do we not? And we have to trust His Spirit through His grace to carry that on. And yet, it's that sanctification process, and it's you and I working together with that Spirit as we become more and more and more like Jesus each and every day. Amen? I hope this makes sense. Let's pray. Precious Father God, I want and desire to have what you desire and want to have for us. Lord, we desire more of you. We desire to be more hungry for you, more thirsty for you. We desire to be more filled by you, to walk better with your Spirit, to live greater capacity with your Spirit, Lord, to be led by your Spirit, to bear the fruit of the Spirit, Lord. Lord, we pray that people would see and know the difference. And the difference is Jesus, and Jesus, you and you alone would get all the glory. As that section of Scripture ended, Lord, it says, don't become conceited. If we become walking in the Spirit and living in the Spirit and filled with the Spirit and bearing fruit of the Spirit, may we not be conceited thinking, look at what we're doing. No. It's all about you, Lord. And Lord, I just pray for this flock. I pray for all of us, Lord, that we would seriously take these things to heart. A heart that you have already changed. A heart that you have made new. Lord, we are new creations in Christ. The old is gone. The new is here. We thank you, Jesus. We pray in your name. Amen.